thank you for doing the interview. You're the first person that we've interviewed on our new show, so
yeah.
Yeah,
I was there about probably 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I came to the studio.
College
Close in Sandown, and done an interview for a ride in Shore Rescue.
Wow, that was 10 years ago. We've just celebrated our 10th anniversary. So
yeah.
In 2010, Ian Mack set everything up. And we've just celebrated 10 years, and we've just had the Queen's Award as well for voluntary service. So that was...
Oh, excellent. Well, welcome to the club, yes.
Yeah, brilliant. We can say we've both got the Queen's Award now.
Yeah.
Indeed, yes. Yeah, I did actually see that. I did see that come up on the news, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's just get on a little bit, and you know, welcome to the Chip and Spud show. I'm Spud, and Rob is Chip. We just wanted to ask you about the service that you provide with the Ride Inshore Lifeboat Team. How long have you been a volunteer for the team?
I've been there since February 2010. So. One of the long-term members at the moment.
Yeah, and how do people actually get to volunteer? What sort of skills are you looking for?
Well, we take anybody from any skill set, really, whether they're boat-orientated or not. We've got so many options of varied jobs down there. Obviously, we've got the full boat crew. We've then got our shore crew, and now luckily we opened up our shop last year. You know, we've now got a shop team as well. So... some people do everything. I mean, we're all jack of all trades. We're either boat crew, or if we don't get out in the boat, then we're always on station. All of us are able to launch as well. So, you know, we don't have any dedicated one job, unless, you know, if someone doesn't want to go out in the boat, they just want to stay shoreside, then that's fine. You know, we're fitting whichever any out or whatever anybody would like to do.
Do you feel as though you've got enough voluntary support? Do you get adequate funding? How do you manage that?
Well, our funding is rattling tins, basically. I mean, our shop last year when it opened was an amazing addition to us. I mean, this year, being closed for 3 months, you know, we've lost a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
But our main funding, I mean, luckily all three independent lifeboats on the island have the lifeboat lotto, which people... it's just the same. It's a national lottery. You put out the money and you can win it. You know, you win up to £5,000. So that actually does give us all money that keeps us going throughout the year, through the winter months. Well, but apart from that, as our normal, once a year we have a big Orange Day celebration, which fortunately this year was cancelled. Plus whatever we do, other, you know, events, collecting on the streets, Christmas we'll be out. August bank holiday, hopefully we might be able to arrange something personally for ourselves. But you know, all our donations are either grants that we can apply for different companies. The government have been fantastic over the last few years. They've done a grant to all independent lifeboat stations and sort of search and rescue. Department of Transport done a £5 million grant over the last sort of 5 years.
Well, that's really good. But like you say, it must have been quite tough this year for fundraising with everything that's happened.
Yeah.
So, do you want to ask a question,
Chip? Yeah, so what kind of shout-outs do you get, like call-outs?
We cover anything that... I mean, we are governed just like all the lifeboats runs around the country by Coast Guard. So if you ring 999, somebody's in trouble in the water, you call Coast Guard, you will get... the nearest available asset. If it's in cover, I mean, our area covers from St. Helens to Osborne Bay area and halfway across the Solent. So anybody who's in trouble that side of this side of the Solent, you know, we will get called for. Whether it be someone who is in trouble in the water, or whether it's a boat that has broken down, or you know, we get tasked with many things, whether it be searching for a missing person who they may feel might be in the water, or even standing by if you know, unfortunately people get in trouble on Ride Pier or that sort of thing. You know, that's our main sort of area that we cover. But majority of our work is boats that have either broken down or run aground on Ride Sands.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably one of the most common problems, where people go out in their ribs or their small boats or yachts, and they get a breakdown, and they rely on you to help them out.
Exactly. I mean, Sunday we were called out to a father and his 10-year-old son who were out on a kayak. There was quite an offshore breeze. There was a southerly breeze that were blowing on Sunday. So
yeah.
From the island, from Ryde, it was nice and calm. But once you got out a little bit further, there was quite a bit of a swell, quite a bit of wind, which unfortunately, you know, they were down on the island on holiday, not used to the conditions, got caught out. And, you know, somebody from the shore saw them in trouble, called 999, and we were tasked to go and assist them and bring them ashore. Otherwise, they could have been in a little bit of trouble. But,
yeah, I mean, this is one of the things, isn't it? Because we've got holidaymakers now beginning to come back to the island and enjoy the summer on the beaches and in the water. I mean, what advice would you give to holidaymakers coming to the island and who might not be aware of the conditions in the water with riptides and that kind of thing?
I mean, yeah, we're fairly lucky from our area. You don't get a lot of riptides. Where Ryde Sands, I mean, the beaches we all know are fantastic.
Yeah,
Where Ryde Sands goes out a long way. It's quite a constant level, so you can be 50 yards off the beach and be in 3 foot of water. You can be 100 yards off the beach and be in 4 foot of water. So it doesn't get deep that quickly. So people kind of get lured into a little bit of a false sense of security, how safe it can be.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong, it is safe. Inflatables are our biggest bugbear. Everybody loves an inflatable,
yeah.
But they're, you know, when they're left unsupervised or not securely attached to, you know, a grown-up, that's our biggest sort of fear. We had a little spate of them last year where we got called out to quite a few, got called out. You know, and that's, you know, it seems like it's unaware of the surroundings. You know, the weather may look nice this side of the island, but once you get out a little bit, it can be a lot rougher. And the same for Sandown. If it's blowing a northerly breeze or sort of, you know, it's nice and calm on the beach, but when you get out a little bit further, you know, it can be quite deceptive.
Yeah, well, actually, we went for a walk along Yavaland Beach.
And yeah.
We take our dog for a walk there quite often. And my daughter, she's studying oceanography and stuff like that. And she said, oh, there's a riptide there. And actually, you know, when she explained how they work, you can actually see them. But, you know, the average person wouldn't know that there was something like that there. But it's good to know at Ryde that there isn't that kind of a problem.
No, there isn't at all, which is quite nice. I mean, we're quite lucky. I mean, say, Apley Beach and down towards the harbour, I mean, obviously now the lifeguards are out and about as well, so you know it's a fantastic safe bit of beach.
Yeah.
You know, so it's safe, you know, and that's the main thing, you know, for people to come down to.
It's a lovely beach, Apley Beach, and what would you say to the people that go down there?
Yeah, just on the beach, because
we
met you the other day when we were doing a beach clean, and actually we picked up quite a lot of bits of litter and plastic and stuff like that that people leave behind. And I guess that might not be a problem for your team, but it is a problem generally with people leaving litter.
Yeah.
When obviously the people, they started clearing the lockdown a little bit, you know, people kind of had their freedom again, you know, and they were there.
Yeah.
It was horrendous down there for a few days. I mean, when we saw you down there, the actual council beach cleaner had been down that morning.
So
they'd already been and scraped the beach already to what had been cleared. And you know how much we saw how much you cleared away yourself. It was a fantastic job that you were doing, you know, just coming down off your own time. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, I think it's not just there. It's in parks as well. I mean, take your rubbish home. There's enough bins around. Or if the bins are full up, just take it home. You know, it's we don't want to ruin what we have on the island with us. We're so lucky. You know, whereas 2 minutes we're in countryside and turn the other direction, 2 minutes we're on we're on fantastic beaches all over. So
I mean,
very, very lucky. And it's frustrating when people do leave things, you know, rubbish lying around. It really is.
Well, when we did that clean, it was along the tide line, and I guess each time the tide comes in and goes out, it brings more stuff in. So there's always going to be something, but the council do a good job scraping the sands. Do they do that every day?
I'm not going to say daily. I think there are probably two or three times a week now. But they used to be daily. It used to be a daily occurrence. I might be wrong on that, but I mean, because I'm not down the station every day of the week, but I mean, it always looks nice and and pristine down there. You know, they it is a fantastic job they do. And luckily that they still keep doing it.
Yeah, it's good. And I think people are a bit more aware now of the impact that they have on the environment. Certainly the younger people are.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the older people don't, but, you know, I don't want to be discriminatory here. But, I mean, you're doing a fantastic job and, you know, you must have great camaraderie within the team of volunteers that you've got there.
Yeah.
So what do you think people could do? I know you mentioned about the Lotto and the shop. Where's the shop? Is that in Ryde or Newport?
It's actually on our station, actually.
In
our station. So we're right on the beach there.
Yeah.
You know, we do the usual. There's cold drinks, there's beach gifts, there's towels, there's shoes, that sort of stuff that you need for a beach. There are a few knick-knack things. We'd have a few things, key rings and that sort of stuff, which are, you know, embossed with our logo and our name. But whatever, 100% of the money goes to our station. That's the biggest thing, you know. It's people's generosity that keep us going. You know, we can't guarantee that we're going to get grants. We apply for many, many more than we actually get. You know, so that's the biggest thing, and it's making people aware that, you know, obviously everybody's heard of the RLI. A lot of people don't realise that there are independent lifeboat stations as well.
Yeah.
I mean, on the island there are three RNLI stations. There are three independent stations.
Yeah.
We all do the same job. We're all governed by the same rules and regulations. But the funding is completely different. You know, the RNLI are a lot bigger organisation, so they have a lot more funding. Which, on the other hand, they've lost a lot more money.
Yeah.
You know, over the last few months as well.
Yeah.
So whichever people you choose to support, you know, it's fantastic. Anybody that supports local charities, to me, is they do a fantastic job, whichever you choose to do. But I do try to believe that if it stays on the island, I like to try and look after our island. You know, we help out other charities if we can, and they help us out as well. So if it's something we can do for another charity on the island, then we will do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that sort of thing as well, which is nice. I mean, we work well with, you know, we work well with the local RNLI stations and the other independent stations. So there's no big them and us thing. You know, we do have a close sort of communication with all of them.
You all work together. Have you looked at sponsorship? Because a lot of businesses, you know, they might be interested in perhaps supporting you through sponsorship. Is that something?
We had a new boat 20 months ago. When did we get it? November.
Yeah.
Should be 2 years old in November. And we managed to get a couple of those companies, Icon, for example, and Ray Marine, who supply our radios and all our navigation equipment. You know, they were very, very good to us. Benbridge Outboards, who supplied our engines.
That's
Andy
good.
Over there was very, very good for us as well, good to us as well. So in that turn, you know, we always support the people who support us if we can.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's a very niche market to get in to get someone to fund, you know, to fund a station or that sort of thing. It's you know, it's quite a difficult thing to do. But you know, the suppliers that we use, we have a very good network of support people who vehicles break down at the drop of a hatch. I know I can ring up our mechanic and he'll be there, whatever time of day or night. You know, and that's the sort of people that we work around us, and they. The support they give us is enough itself, you know, knowing that we have this backup as well.
Well, I mean, you've given us a great outline there, AD, and I think the key message really for people coming to the island is, you know, just be aware of your surroundings and respect that. And you guys, have you got any girls on your team?
We have, yeah.
Great.
We've got two crew members who have been with us for a while now. One of them is our senior coxswain's daughter, so she's been brought up with the lifeboat station for the last sort of 12 years, 13 years or so. So as soon as she became 18, she joined up and became a member as well. So she's a full boat crew as well.
Well, that's fantastic. Well,
wow.
AD, it's been really great talking to you, and thank you for talking to Chip and Spud.
Hopefully
we can have another chat another time, and you can update us on how things are going.
Indeed, guys, it's been fascinating, and you're always welcome to come down this ocean. I mean, we're there every Sunday for a watch. We're there Monday nights. You know, so as I said, we're not manned. We all operate on pages, but we are there every Sunday between 10 and 2. And again, if anybody wants to pop in and just have a look around, and we're more than happy to show them the boats. What we find with the young children as well, it's the tractors rather than the boats.
Yeah. The tractors. Yeah. Well, after our talk, I'm going to make sure that Chip doesn't go out on the sea on his Lilo. Because the last time he did that,
I was in the pool.
He was in the paddling pool and he sat on the Lilo and it burst.
It just started deflating.
So we're just going to have to be careful when we go out on the sea.
Yeah,
indeed, that's it. Yeah, just be aware of your surroundings. Take note of where the wind's going and take note of where, you know, people, your friends, your parents, either the children, where they are on shore. So, you know, and keep an eye on your kids down there. You know, we've all. You know, lost children. It only takes a second to turn the back, and they're gone. You know, in innocent. So I mean, that's the thing. Just it's like anywhere. You know, we are so lucky down here. You know, things are so safe down here.
Well, we have a beautiful island, and you've given some really good advice there, Ady. So from Chip and Spud, we'd just like to thank you for your time. And
thank you, guys.
We'll be in touch again in the future.
Indeed, thank you very much. Take care, chaps.
Thanks very much, Ady.
Thanks, Ady.
Take care.
Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.